Yes, it is. It's just after six on a Thursday evening, so it must be time for ramblings and music. Come on in.
I'm wide-eyed and I'm so damn caught in the middle. I've excused you for a while I'm wide-eyed and I'm so damn caught in the middle.
Ramblings and Music Show is sponsored by Minton House and Gardens in Dorset. Nestling in the Cern Valley, Minton House is in an unequalled setting with its unique Himalayan gardens and tranquil wild woodland, which you can visit each year until November. Minton House warmly welcomes guests for private events and weddings and is an ideal location for corporate functions or conferences all year round. For more information on all events at Minton House and Gardens, please visit the website at minturn.co.uk or send an email to inquiries@minturn.co.uk.
So go on, fill your heart up with gladness. Not a moment too soon, not a moment too soon. We should be rational reasons. Choose a child to ignore. Of this I've never been sure. So I will follow the feeling. Sing fever to the phone, all of my fever to the phone. 'Cause the very thing you're afraid, afraid of, that keeps you clean but unclean. But unclear is the dirt that you're made of. And that's nothing to fear. No, it's nothing, my dear. But how do I know what you're thinking? Maybe I thought it before. Maybe that's why I'm at your window. Hear me at your door, sing and give me some more. Oh, fever to the phone. Won't you hear me at your door, sing and give me some more. We've been here before. Yes, we've been here before. And that was always plenty. Yes, still we ask for more. Singing fever to the phone.
The wonderful work of Nick Mulvey from his album First Mind. That was Fever to the Form. And we started off this first slice of Ramblings and Music with a strong by London Grammar from their album If You Wait. Well, we're not going to have to wait for long to be able to hear the wonderful music of Dean Carter. Dean's joined me in the studio again, because in the 8 points of the year, the wheel moves around surprisingly fast, or even alarmingly fast, Dean.
Yes, well, it seems even faster because we had a bit of a cheat one last time. We shoved in the dog days, didn't we, as a little extra when the planets at the furthest or closest from the sun, and so they're not usually included in the usual 8-point wheel of the year, as the solstices, equinoxes, and then the quarter days in between them, which if you actually calculate what the quarter days are, we actually usually celebrate them a little bit earlier than that. So so now we're on Lunasa already.
I know, Lunasa, and I love the way that despite sort of massive changes in our society, there are still really significant things that fit with the wheel of the year and how we live today. Because tell us why Lunasa actually fits in with children's school holidays.
Oh yes, it does. Well, basically Lunasa is coming at the start of August. It's the festival of the grain harvest, of course. So when they set up the school curriculum at the end of the 19th century, rather than having the school holidays when it's really at its hottest and sunniest, you'd ideally do it from summer solstice onward for 6 weeks. They put it around Lunasa so that the children could help with the grain harvest. And obviously they haven't changed that. There's a lot of debate about changing the school holidays, because as everyone will have noticed, as soon as the school holiday starts, the summer's over. It's rainy August, and it's still usually quite nice, but not the absolutely, the dog days of July. That's the hottest time of the year. It's early July.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such an interesting festival, isn't it? Also known as Lammas, and so we're going to be unfolding some of the folklore, some of the Celtic traditions, and some of the hidden occult perspective of Lunasa in this.
Lammas means loaf mass. Yes. So that reflects again, it's the harvest, you bake the first loaf. So it reflects
break bread together as a community.
Absolutely,
to
yes.
Celebrate. So this piece is it has it the same name, Lunasa?
No, this one is actually called It Is What It Is, and it's got a very to me it had a really kind of work song feel when it came through. So as I was writing the cycle, I thought, that's the one for Lunasa. It's working in the fields kind of vibe, hopefully will fit with your jar of cider, as you cider away.
Yeah, although that would be from last year still, wouldn't it?
Thank you.
beautiful, Dean. Now, I'm intrigued how you got that beautiful electronic sound, because as far as I'm aware, you don't have any electronic keyboards with you. How did you make that particular sound in that song?
Slide again. We had to slide on the...
The bit that looks like part of a wrench kit.
Yes, basically. it's just a metal tube, or sometimes a glass tube. Most use the end of a beer bottle, you know. And
because there was a piece where you had it almost over, I don't know what you call it actually, the mouth of the guitar, what do you call it?
The hole, the sound hole.
The
yes.
Hole.
It's called the
hole. I felt that was rather crude, so I didn't actually say that. You were doing a bit where you were playing there, and that was just a really intriguing sound you were making.
Well, the notes on the frets are up very close to the old hole there at that point. Yes,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of like a blues steel-strung acoustic guitar kind of technique. On soporific, I was using it on a classical, but this is actually, folks, it's my black guitar. This is actually is a steel-strung acoustic innovation. It used to be the priciest one you could get when I bought it. And, and then you often use, what I'm using is an open tuning, a dadgad tuning, D-A-D-G-A-D. So that means you play the open strings and it sounds nice.
Yeah.
You don't have to bother putting any fingers down almost. And so the normal tuning, the standard tuning everyone uses when they first come to the guitar, if you play the open strings on that, as you know, it doesn't sound like a very interesting chord at all. But folk guitar tunings, then taken over by, you know, rock musicians like Jimmy Page. He got it all from Bert Jansch, from Davy Graham, and it's actually in many ways a lot more logical for the instrument, the open tunings, and you get some. So, and also it means you can actually use the slide more easily as well. That's why I'm going on about it.
Okay, because does it come from classical guitar, the
not
normal,
at all, no.
The normal tuning?
The normal tuning, yeah, originally comes from the original guitar instrument. It was actually not, as well as a lute, there was a thing called a vihuela. I think I've said that right, in about the 14th century. And that was near to standard tuning, apart from an F sharp rather than a G, which is the same as a lute tuning, yeah. So people started experimenting with these tunings. the acoustic, the steel strung guitar isn't really an English folk instrument, you know, it kind of developed in America, and so they started going, well, it's a lot easier if you just use a bit of metal and play open strings, you can still bash something out. And of course a lot of, say, you know, I mentioned Jimmy Page, but the Stones also, like, most of their classic songs are in open tunings. And everyone spends years struggling, trying to, you know, get it to sound right with the normal tuning. But you can't. You know, it's actually the designed to be played with this kind of these interval relationships. You can play, as it were, an interesting normal chord just by hitting the open strings.
And that's such an interesting thing about the guitar. I mean, every instrument has so many aspects to it, but by being able to change the length of the strings and so how they vibrate, and then in ratio and relationship to each other, you can change an awful lot on a guitar.
Well, it's the king of instruments and the queen of instruments, of course. You know, that's right. You can tune the guitar any way you like, and then start having a good time. You know, and which is what I'm doing with my writing at the moment. But it does mean you have to really have a guitar dedicated to funny tunings, because if you're zapping in between them, as we may do a little later in the show, you know, that's when you spend 3 hours sitting in the folk club and the guy tinkers about for half an hour telling you his boring life story, and he still can't get it right. So yeah, you do need probably a. This is why I'm using this black guitar, and so probably the next piece I'm going to play will be on the same funny open tuning. You see,
okay. Method of my madness. So you played that from Lunasa from the Wheel of the Year, and I've. Because of listening to your music and because I just love finding out things, we've talked about Lunasa in the past, and that Lu is an Irish god. What I didn't realise though, that some of the lots of the festival the origins of the festival in Ireland comes from the fact that lots of things around him are in celebration of his foster mother, and I'd say read her name as Taitui, who died of exhaustion after clearing the land of Ireland. And these festivals include athletic contests, as so many festivals do, feasting, poetry reading, and ritual combats. But one of the key things that happened at
Can we do the ritual combat?
One of the key things that happened, it was also a time of hand fasting, and there's various Celtic areas of the country, when you look into this, where hand fasting took part at this festival, at this point of alignment in the sky of 15 degrees in Leo, apparently.
Yes, I mean, that's where the real dating of Lunasa ought to be, roughly on 15 degrees of the relevant sign, which would actually make it usually all the quarter days are like the first or the second of the month, and really, if you line it up with that timing, with it when it being 15 degrees of the relevant sign, you're looking at about the fourth, fifth, and sixth of the month, which is why I think November the 5th is the real Samhain, for example, because it's falls within that category.
Falls within that degree of...
And obviously, all of these festivals were fire festivals. You'd be lighting bonfires and doing the exciting things that you did. I don't know if any of you out there have ever seen the... there's a very good film of the Meryl Streep movie, Dancing at Lunasa. It's a Brian Friel play. And it's first thing I heard... How come I heard about the festival? Because I thought Lunasa would be a place, but it's a time. And the movie's set in the 30s. It's a very good little story, very powerful drama. And you see them at some point, they're up in the hills and they do their bonfire thing and leaping the bonfire stuff in it.
Mm. I mean, the hand, going back to the hand fasting, it was a sacred ceremony, but it was a temporary hand fasting. It would last a year and a day, and if it didn't work out, couples could part ways without stigma.
I did one of those. Yes, I did a hand fasting at Beltane, and uncoupled later, decoupled.
Ah, okay. Right, well,
so
what
still
are you
available?
what are you going to play next, and from which album does this come?
This is Mabon Dawn, and it happens to be in the same funny Dadgad tuning. And it's in a way the track that kicked off the whole idea of doing a sequence of tunes around the Wheel of the Year, because this actually came through in a dream at the in the early hours of the morning on Mabon, which is the autumn equinox, on the day I was going to play the launch gig for the first album, being Songs Without Words, Stroke Towards Tomorrow, all of which you can buy at www.centreforbeersound.com or .org. No, we're a .org. We're not a .org, not a company, as well as streaming it for nothing off the Spotify, etc. And so it actually came through on that launch gig. I didn't have it in shape to play then, so it wound up on the second album, which is just called Songs Without Words Volume 2. And it sort of kicked off the whole idea of, well, what if I have one through on each of the points? And I have to say, hand on heart, not absolutely every one of the Wheel of the Year songs came through on the time, but certainly the first one, Stand Still, Sol Invictus, did, and quite a few of the others. Whereas I was, as I say, then kind of like, as they were coming through, sort of assigning them to the different spokes. Anyway, yeah, so this is called Mabon Dawn, because that's just when it happened. Thank you.
Beautiful. So that one came to you when you were playing. Where was your first? Where was your first live?
We did the launch gig at Pageant Gardens, just in the bandstand. Yes, yeah. A few friends came along, and so that was the launch gig. I suspect you were there, Susan. That's right. Yeah. So. And that was the Mabon of 2022, yeah. So, and since then, there have been a further three albums have come out of this stuff. And
it's quite incredible, isn't it? How things have moved for you with your music.
And the weird thing is, it keeps on coming. I've got another instrumental album sort of demo lined up, ready to go. And then just very recently, it seems like I'm having a kind of phase of writing them on the phases of the moon. So at the moment, I'm in there's like another album's worth seems to be popping out. And also in mostly in funny tunings, actually. So that might be what I'll try and...
Yeah. Well, while you focus on tuning over there, I'll turn your mic down until you nod that you're ready. Or are you?
I've done it.
Oh, you've done it.
I've done it.
I was going to say I can do more Lunasa facts, but no. What's your third piece that you're going to play?
I don't know what it's called yet.
Okay.
I wrote it on Monday.
Oh wow. Okay.
It's sort of following our little tradition that we started working in on these of. As well as the tracks and the weed of the year, blah, blah, whatever's hottest off the press. This is, I don't know what it's called. I don't know if I've finished it. I just kind of quite like it. And let's see if it'll, if I can knock out a live version.
Yeah.
Only a few hours after it kind of came through, really.
Thank you.
Well, what an honour to sit and hear that at its first public performance, and really quite different from all the other pieces that you've written so far.
Good. Good. I'm glad I'm not repeating myself.
Yes. Well, I didn't mean that in a rude way, but it just has. It evokes still something very natural and with energy, but it also, yeah, has a completely different feel about it.
It's in 9/8, and it's I've got a feeling this current lot of writing really is tied in with moon phases, so probably the titles will be reflect each of the phases. So yeah. That was while it was a beautiful sickle moon.
Okay, because at the moment we're moving from new moon to full moon, aren't we? We're waxing
away.
We're nearly on the half
moon, yeah. And and triplet rhythms and number threes are usually like feminine, you know, and lunar kind of thing, so that would tie in nicely.
yeah well, thank you so much for coming in, Dean. You've been playing in D'Urbervilles on Points of the Wheel of the Year. Have you any other upcoming events?
To my knowledge, not till the beginning of September. I might possibly be playing at the Laycock Cider Barn, where they're starting to have some music. And then I haven't got a firm date for the. I'm hoping we'll have one around Mabon, around the autumn equinox, back at D'Urbervilles. But that's way off in the future, way off in, because we're a little ahead of Lunar Eve. This is actually like Lunar Eve today, so. So it'll be well over like a proper 6 weeks gap. There'll be before the next.
Because saying that, it seems like quite an exciting thing that's been set up at Laycock Cider Barn.
Yes, I think they're having their first one tomorrow.
That's
if
right.
You guys want to go along and support
some live
music.
Beats and Treats at Laycock Cider between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. Laycock Cider Barn is at Purse Cawndor. So there's going to be great music, really tasty, and I can vouch for this, freshly made pizzas. So come along and eat to the beat. And I think what it is, it's not open mic, but it's I think it's five acts, as I understand.
It's a selection of you know, fairly reasonably good standard people. So I'm booked in, I believe, on the second one at the beginning of September rather than the first one. But
And Laycock Cider, they'll be having those on the first Sunday on the month, wherever that falls. Well, thank you again, Dean, for coming in and for giving us the privilege of hearing one of your latest creations. I mean, compositions, yes, but there's something more about it than just a composition. When I sit and listen to it, how are we going to sort of follow that? It's always difficult. Sometimes I like to sort of segue into something completely different, but this is actually very apt. It's Lisa O'Neill. It comes from her album All of This Is Change, and this is a track called Old Note.